Hello, I'm Father Mario Arroyo. I am the senior pastor at St. Cyril of Alexandria Catholic Church in Houston, Texas.
Father Mario Arroyo, good to see you today. Welcome to the Stone Chapel Podcast.
It is a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, we spend a lot of time together on the radio.
Yes, we do.
With Rabbi Stuart Federo, Rabbit Stew, as we call him. And we have a lot of fun and hopefully good conversations going on. But today we're going to focus in upon you. We're going to talk about later the sacraments of the Catholic Church, because a lot of people listening to this podcast maybe have not heard that term, or they're not familiar with it, and because they're Protestants, maybe they need a little bit of an orientation. Mm-hmm. So let's begin, though, by saying who you are. Who is Father Mario Arroyo?
Well, I am a Catholic priest of the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston. I have been ordained a priest for 46 years. Mm-hmm. I've been ordained a priest. I am originally from Havana, Cuba. I came here when I was 10 years old, and always have been a Catholic, but had an intense conversion when I was 21 years old, and came to the realization that there's really nothing greater than hanging on to God for dear life. And I've always been Catholic. I was convinced, and I am convinced, of the Catholic tradition. And so I chose to enter the seminary because I wanted to spend the rest of my life proclaiming the one thing that stood when the rest of my life fell apart, and that was Jesus and his resurrection and his salvation. So I've been doing that for, like I said, 46 years.
46
now.
Years. Yep. You grew up in Denver.
In Denver, Colorado.
And after going from Havana to Denver, but you came here to go to seminary in Houston.
Yeah, but actually, I didn't. My vocation story is a bit turbulent. Mm. I was recovering from some stupid things that I did when I was in my late teens and early 20s, including mild drugs and stuff like that. And I went into a kind of a nervous breakdown, but I was never hospitalized or anything. But it was just a total eruption inside as to who am I, where am I going, what's life all about.
Was this while you lived in Denver?
This is while I lived in Denver.
Okay.
And at that moment, I started remembering that there was a God who loved me and a God who saves. And so I started literally internally screaming, "Help me." It's interesting because you can always imagine this theologically or cognitively, but when you start existentially screaming, saying to God, "Help me," mm-hmm. all of a sudden you understand the whole concept of salvation.
Yeah, it's very different, right?
And that's very different than the cognitive understanding of the Christian faith.
Yeah,
it becomes alive, and that ever since then I just don't know how to live without clinging to God, the God of Jesus, and his resurrection.
Mm, great. That's a great story. And yeah, thanks for being with us today.
Here oh, you're
to talk,
welcome.
Share a little bit of that. Now, today we're going to focus our attention on the sacraments of the Catholic Church. Growing up Baptist, we had two, baptism and the Lord's Supper, but we didn't use the term sacrament. We used the term ordinance.
Right.
And I think that's true maybe of other Protestants as well. But in the Catholic Church, there are seven sacraments.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the whole idea of what is a sacrament. Let's begin with that.
A sacrament is an encounter with the presence of God, the real presence of God. So, for example, the primordial sacrament for us is the Eucharist, of course. And as in the Catholic tradition, we understand that the Eucharist is a person. I always let people know that, because Catholics often say, "Well, I'm going to Mass," and I sometimes want to say, "Oh my, I wish we wouldn't do it that way," because I think more accurately, we would be able, we should be able to say, I am about to go to meet the Lord. I am going to enter into common union with God, with Jesus.
Communion.
Common, yeah, that's why I always like to expand that word, because we Catholics, you know, everybody gets a little careless in their theology. And people will say, did you go to communion? And you don't go to communion. You go into common union. When you hear common union, all of a sudden, going to communion has a little bit of a different understanding.
Different slant to it.
You're
yeah.
going into common union with our Lord. And the, of course, we Catholics understand that it is the real presence of the Lord.
And so, in the Eucharist.
In
itself.
The Eucharist, yeah. Right. Okay. The word Eucharist just means thanksgiving. But the real presence of Jesus is there. And so, you know, it's we're very focused on when Jesus said, you know, if, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And even when people started to leave him because he was saying something that sounded crazy, he didn't say, oh, no, no, wait, 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 you misunderstood me. He doubled down on it, and even down to the point of saying to his disciples, are you going to also leave? So there was no sense of walking it back. It's the common union. We believe that we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity, the whole of Jesus existentially in the reception of common union or the Eucharist.
Is there an expectation that that is a transformative moment in life? Because some people can just, quote, go to Mass communion. Or go to communion, and it, okay, I did that, you know, and it doesn't faze them.
Well, it's a
that's a problem that we all have in all traditions.
It's a matter of how you receive communion. There's no, you know, electric experience or anything like that that happens to you. It's an issue of faith that when you go to common union, when you receive the Eucharist, it's quite deep if you understand what you're doing. But there are people who just receive it just nonchalantly, and you can tell. It bothers me whenever I'm distributing the Lord's body that there are people who just kind of do it. You know, just superficially.
Yeah. So. I think we can all just kind of go through the motions, right? Yeah. Whatever the tradition is. The other one that we share is the one of baptism. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. Baptism for us, it's an interesting distinction that I think is correct. You can disabuse me if I'm wrong. But in many Protestant traditions, baptism is your commitment to God. And so, therefore, you can renew that baptism as many times as you wish. But for us, in the Catholic tradition, it is the sacraments are never initiated by us. The sacrament is God's initiation into dialogue with you. And so, when you are baptized in the Catholic Church, it is God saying to you through water, you are my son, you are my daughter. That is unrepeatable.
So you don't have multiple times into the baptistry at that point.
We are forbidden from doing that because once God has chosen you, we do not believe he has to re-choose you. Yeah. But you see, that's the difference. In a lot of Protestant theology, it's us choosing God and renewing that commitment is baptism. In Catholic theology, it is God choosing you. That's what I say to parents, you can baptize a baby because you as a parent chose your son or daughter before they could choose you. And they grew up in that choice that you made and discovered that you were mom and dad as they grew up. And so we understand that God can choose you as his son or daughter prior to you becoming conscious and being able to choose back to him.
So it is God's initiation.
It's always God's initiation. Where, for example, when I celebrate the Eucharist, see, in the Catholic tradition, the Catholic priest does the sacraments, what is called in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. So, for example, it's an interesting thing. A few months ago, or maybe a year ago, there was a priest who had been baptizing people, and he would say, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, all of his baptisms were deemed invalid. And the reason why they were deemed invalid is because when you say we, you are presuming the church.
The church is doing
it. And it is not the church. When the priest says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that I is not the priest. That I is the person of Christ speaking through the priest. Hmm. So when I celebrate the Eucharist and I say, this is my body, it is not my body. It is the body of Christ.
So you're speaking in the person of Christ.
And when I do the sacrament of reconciliation, which is normally called confession, when I say, I absolve you from all of your sins, those people don't need my absolution. They don't need my forgiveness. It didn't do anything to me. So when I absolve you, it is in the person of Christ. And I tell people, you're not listening to me. You're listening to the person of Christ using me as his voice. Mm. And the reason he does that is so he doesn't freak you out. You know, and you imagine every time you said to Jesus, I'm sorry, Jesus would go, it's okay, you know, in a thunder or something like that. You know, so
the I absolve you is really Christ absolve
you. Christ absolves you.
So.
But it's in the person of Christ. And every sacrament is like that.
Now, you call that the sacrament of reconciliation.
Yeah.
Is that something that only adults do, or can children do that?
We normally introduce children to it at the age of reason. In the Catholic tradition, the age of reason is 7 years old.
Seven.
And
okay.
So we introduce kids to their first confession at 7 years old. And that's always very enjoyable. My most enjoyable one, and I won't take too long with this, but is the one where little kids will come first confession and they will confess adultery.
Oh, they will.
They will confess adultery. And when you ask them what it is, they say, disrespecting an adult.
Oh, okay. Okay. An adult.
They don't understand
the
term. Yeah. So it's always funny when it happens.
Yeah. So that's three of the sacraments.
Yes.
We've talked about baptism. We've talked about communion or the Eucharist, but also reconciliation.
Right.
What's the fourth sacrament? Yeah, these aren't necessarily in order, right?
No, order would be baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. Those are called the sacraments of initiation.
Okay, so let's go back to confirmation then.
Confirmation is actually based on the scriptural moment in which Paul goes to a group of people who have been baptized but have not yet received the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh, right.
And so they lay hands upon them and anoint them, and that is the reception of the Holy Spirit. And so confirmation is done. It's a separate sacrament. And the baptism and the confirmation for adults, when an adult is being received into the church, they are always done all three at the same time, baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist.
But for children, we
do the baptism, and then we do first Eucharist at around 7, and around 14 or 15, we do confirmation.
Oh, okay. And why that particular age?
Is it
just deemed that they are making the decision themselves? They're just confirming the decision?
Well, yeah, it's a time when we feel that they are most ready to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit given at that moment. So we want them to be mostly understanding of what they are receiving.
Mm-hmm.
In baptism, God chooses them before they even know it. But in confirmation, we want them to be able to understand what they are receiving. They're not making a commitment. They are not making confirmation to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's God making firm and fulfilling his fullness of the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So it goes back to the idea of God as the initiator
that
of
is
the
correct.
Sacraments.
That is correct.
Okay.
And then, of course, you have the other sacraments, which is, first of all, the anointing of the sick.
Mm-hmm.
And the anointing of the sick is based, I think, in the letter of James, where it says, if anyone's sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let that person anoint them. And this anointing would save the sick person. And if they have committed any sins, their sins are forgiven.
Right.
And so that's in the letter of James.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Catholic tradition bases the sacrament of the anointing on that passage. It used to be called the sacrament of extreme unction.
But that's how I learned it
many years ago,
right? So that's usually like last rites.
Well,
you see,
in the Catholic Church, there is no such thing as last rites.
Okay.
Christian community found through the ages began to saying, well, when should you get anointed? And they say, well, it has to be serious. It's not allergies. You don't get anointed for allergies.
Serious illness.
So they started saying, well, it's got to be an extreme illness, you know, serious illness. That's where he got extreme unction. And people were always afraid when the priest would come because people would wait until they were dying. And so the priest showing up, I must be dying if they called the priest. So we try to make it's serious illness before surgery, or if you're dealing with a significant illness.
Okay.
And it has the power of helping you through the illness and with God's grace and also the forgiveness of all sins. And of course, then there's holy orders. I always like to say, take away the adjective.
Orders.
That's right.
All you got left is
orders. You got orders.
Okay.
In other words, you will become a disciple. You promise obedience to the bishop, and you are under his orders to do ministry. And we go where we are told to go by our bishops.
Okay. So that's what the priest does.
That's right.
So not everybody goes through holy orders.
No, just the priest, deacons,
just the priest,
and bishops.
Okay. Deacons and bishops. What about women who are going into a convent, let's say?
They make vows.
They make vows.
Yeah, those are not sacraments.
That's not sacraments.
No.
Okay.
There's a category in the Catholic tradition called sacramentals. And sacramentals are holy actions. The thing about the sacrament is that a sacrament effects what it signifies. For example, if I give you the Eucharist, you have received the Lord whether you know it or not. It is not dependent on you recognizing it. It may have no effect on you, but you have received the Lord. Mm-hmm. If I give you the forgiveness of sins in reconciliation, you have been forgiven if you have the right intention. But if you say, I'm not intending to do anything, I'm intending to go right back and do it, then even though it was given to you, the reconciliation was given to you, you did not accept it in a way that it would make any significant change in you.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And then the last sacrament, of course, it should never be last, but I think unconsciously, because I'm a celibate, is the sacrament of marriage.
Marriage, okay.
And the sacrament of marriage is that coming from the tradition of husbands love your wives as Christ loves the church, you know, and mm-hmm. the love between the couple is a signifier of this love that is given by Christ to the church. This is interesting. That's the only sacrament that I do not do. I preside at that sacrament, but the couple gives the sacrament to each other.
I see.
Okay.
They are priest-like at that moment.
Yes, yes. Okay. All I'm doing there is being the church's official witness. Mm. Okay?
You're signing the paperwork.
That's right. The sacrament is given by the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband.
So it's reciprocal.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
Not everybody, of course, gets married.
No, I have never been married.
Yeah. But for those who do in the Catholic Church.
Yes.
You go through this sacrament, and the husband shares it with the wife. And
are
there particular words that accompany this
must be said? Yeah, specific. You can't go ahead and make your own vows unless you have different specific points that are made. So the husband and wife, the typical vows is, I take you to be my husband and wife. I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life.
And you presided over a number of those weddings, I would imagine.
Many weddings.
Yeah. Well, this is a fascinating look at the sacraments in the Catholic Church. And I'm hopeful that there are some Protestants out there that say, let me think about that more deeply.
Yeah,
interesting ideas there.
It's an interesting thing because what's happened is that in the tradition of Sola Scriptura, in the Protestant tradition, the only command that is given by Jesus as a command is go and baptize and do this in memory of me.
Right.
And so
baptism and the Lord's Supper.
That's right. And so in the tradition of the church, we understand that the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles and they were given authority to develop the theology, the understanding of Christianity. So, for example, when Paul meets with the rest of the apostles in the Council of Jerusalem, they make a decision as to whether a person needs to be a Jew before they can be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that is nowhere to be found in Jesus' words.
Right.
And so
right.
it was understood by them that they had the authority to make those kinds of decisions.
Mm-hmm. And so they had the Spirit of Jesus with them, right?
In the whole, what's called the power of the keys. And the power of the keys is when Jesus says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the mm-hmm. Catholic interpretation is that the church has the authority within the bounds of the gospel to make decisions about Christian life.
The ordering of the Christian life.
That's right.
Fascinating stuff. Father Mario Arroyo, thanks for being with us today on the Stone Chapel.
It is an honor to be with you, now and every Sunday.
If we have left you wanting more, we did that on purpose. Keep listening, and at the end of this podcast, our guest will share with you a nugget of wisdom. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation and found some word of encouragement, instruction, and correction, or anything that helps you renew your mind. The Stone Chapel podcast are brought to you by the Lanier Foundation and the Lanier Theological Library in Houston, Texas. Thanks to our production staff, headed by Kathy Capes. Always great to thank Phil Kagi for our music. Do you have questions, comments? We always love to hear from you. Email us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. That's podcast@lanierlibrary.org. Now, Lanier is spelled L-A-N-I-E-R. Until next time, I'm David Capes. Thanks for listening.
The nugget of wisdom that I would like to share with you today is my favorite definition of an ideology or a heresy. It works either way. It was, I think, if I have it right, attributed to T.S. Eliot, heresy or ideology. A partial insight whose seductive simplicity is altogether more plausible than the whole truth.